2 Corinthians 11, I wanted to springboard a little bit off of our last series of A Savior-Sensitive Church and go into something that I titled Counterfeit Christianity. Counterfeit Christianity. Looking at this morning, what is a real Christian? What is a real church? What is a real gospel? Well, we know according to the Word of God, there's a counterfeit gospel. There's a counterfeit Jesus. There's a counterfeit Christian. There's a counterfeit church. There's a counterfeit a lot of things, isn't there? And so I want to look at this morning just a few things, and then we'll kind of roll it over the next week or so and looking at what really is a true, legitimate child of God. And how do we look at and really detect that which is a counterfeit? Now, if you will, if you're in 2 Corinthians 11, very, very good portion of Scripture. Notice verse 1, this is a warning again. Paul is writing to the church and he says, "Now would to God ye would bear with me a little in my folly and indeed bear with me." He says, "For I'm jealous over you, notice, with a godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now, Paul is saying, I led you folks to the Lord, we started this church here, but I'm jealous over you. I don't want you to fall away from the truth. Continuing, he says, "But I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve," notice this, "through his subtlety." I said before, people look for Satan in the most abrasive ways. Well, he's going to come beat down the door. He's got a red tail and a pitchfork. No, he doesn't. He's subtle, isn't he? He's very subtle. "He beguiled Eve through subtlety. So notice, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Notice verse number 4. "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus." What's that? That's a counterfeit. "So therefore there must be another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles." Now, if you will, jump down, if you will, to verse 13. Notice what he says. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." They come and talk about Christ. Isn't this interesting? Now, by the way, just a warning, we'll get to this in a minute. Every person on YouTube that says Jesus Christ and they praise and lift up Jesus is not a true apostle or a true believer. We have to examine, we're going to look at this, their fruit. We've got to look at that. Now, notice in verse 14, "And no marvel," no shock, "for Satan himself is transformed," notice, "into an angel of light." These people that talk about, "Oh, I saw an angelic being. It was a beautiful thing." Be careful. That may not be an angel. Could be a demon. Notice, "he transformed himself into the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers..." Okay, now, who's the ministers? People say, "Well, that's demons." Not only. What's a minister? It's a preacher. It's a minister. Satan uses people. We know that. "Also be transformed into the minister," "as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now, today I wanted to talk about that, preach about if I can for just a few minutes, on this topic of counterfeit Christianity. You know, in life you can't really trust a lot of things. We use the old saying, listen, trust but verify, okay? Trust people. "I don't trust anybody." Well, you can't live life like that, right? You got to trust people. You'll walk in onto a large piece of metal, basically aluminum, get up to 30,000 feet, going about 300, 400 miles an hour, and you've never met the guy. You've never shaken his hand. You don't even know his name. "We're flying today." Well, you can't even understand what they're saying, you know. You trust them. You have to. You walk into a doctor's office. Some of you did that this week. You walked into a doctor's office, and you saw the degrees hanging on his wall. If you're like me, you don't know who he is, but you trust him. Okay, I think we need to do this. And then, you know, you lay back in the dentist's chair, and we did this recently, you know, laid back, and all of a sudden, why does he want to ask all these questions when I got all the stuff in my mouth? You know? "And how are you doing today? And how's everything going?" "Real good, yeah." I don't know. We trust these people, don't we? With our lives, literally. There is a lot out there of what we call generic, those things that we call a knockoff, generic products all around us. The grocery stores, I read this, pretty interesting. Grocery stores about 60 years ago or so, they started to realize that they have all the products of other companies in their store. That was their job. They retail, they sell stuff. They're kind of a clearinghouse. That's what a grocery store does. And then they started to think about this. Hang on. If we mimic their products and sell them under our name, hey, We'd double our money. So they started doing it, you know. And now you got the great values and other things like that. But most people won't buy that stuff. Can I get an amen for Dr. Thunder? Amen. Okay, how many know what I'm talking about? That stuff is potent. I mean, you're going, what? And you look at the back of it, man, it feels good. I like that stuff. There's a lot of counterfeits out there. I'm reminded of the young man, and he went to his sweetheart and said, baby, I want to marry you. She said, really? Yeah. So the next day, he goes over to the local jeweler, and you know the story and how that goes, and he goes to the counter and says, hey, how much is that one? He said, which one? He said, that one, that little teensy, teensy, tiny little diamond. He said, that one, that's $1,000. He's $1,000. He said, yep. He said, well, what else you got? He said, well, I got one even smaller than that. He showed him a tiny, tiny, tiny little, looked like a grain of sand. He said, that one's $850. What? He said, son, I think I know what you want. Come on down here. He walked him down to the end of the counter, didn't he? You know where he's going, right? And he said, do you see that big one there? He said, that big one? How much is that? He said, that's only $300. $300? I'll take that one. What's so special about it, or why is it so cheap? What'd he say? It's cubic zirconium. He said, well, what's that? He says, well, it mimics a diamond, but it's not a diamond. And they came out with a thing called a diamond tester. And you can put that on a ring and find out. Now, don't do that, okay? Now, ladies, just trust us. Just trust us, okay? Trust us, okay? You don't need to get it checked. We'll be fine. Okay, so everything. Now, I want to bring this back now. Okay, to every truth, there is always a counterfeit. To every truth. I'm reminded of the story. I read it just recently in Exodus chapter 7. You remember what happens? Aaron and Moses walked in to Pharaoh's court. And the Lord told Aaron, Aaron, throw your rod down on the ground. He threw it down on the ground. What happened? Turned into a serpent. Now, what kind of serpent? We don't know. A lot of people speculate about this. Well, what did the magicians do? That's nothing. They took their little measly sticks that they had and they threw them on the ground. They became serpents. There's always a counterfeit, isn't there? And I love the end of it. What is it? Aaron's snake comes over, sticks his tongue out, and swallows both of them. Yeah, amen. Right there I would have been, okay, I think I know what the winning side is here. There's a counterfeit to everything. Therefore, and I say this very clearly, therefore we must have a tool, just like that diamond tester. We must have a tool to discern between that which is truth and that which is false. Now, I'm preaching to people that know their Bibles this morning, and so you know what that is. That's the Word of God. And Paul says here, he says, listen, I'm fearful, I'm jealous. In another place he says, I'm almost at a loss for words. He says in the book of Galatians, that you're so soon removed to another gospel that is not a gospel. It's a heresy. It's a false teaching. So we must have something that differentiates, something that is a tool that says, I know what is true and I know what is counterfeit. May I remind us today that our hearts, our intuition, even our conscience is not a reliable source to know the truth. Many people have been duped and deceived. I read recently how many people are actually duped and deceived out of their money, their life savings, by answering these spam calls. Do you get these all the time, or these scammers? And our phones now say possible scam or spam or whatever it is. Scam likely or whatever it is. How many people actually follow that? Hello? Yeah? Really? Oh, my Social Security? Yeah, here it is. My credit card number? Oh, got it. Just duped out of it. No discernment, no what we call common sense here. And we as Christians ought to never be deceived. We know, according to the Scriptures, that there will be a time when they come to the Lord in this last day and they say, Lord, Lord, it's me. And he says, depart, I never knew you. Counterfeits. Now, they knew his name. They knew what to say. Remember what they said? Lord, we did many mighty works in thy name. Lord, we did all these miraculous things. And notice there the word works. They were all about works. He says, I don't know you. You're a counterfeit. You're a lie. Now the Bible gives us, and I like this, both a prescription and a description of how to detect the counterfeit. As I was studying this, the story that kept popping up is the story of Little Red Riding Hood. How many know that story? Yeah, you know it. But I actually read the old version. Have you read the original version? It is creepy. I mean, have you read the original version of Ring Around the Posies, Pocket Full of Posies, you know, the Black Death, and they were talking about everyone falling over dead, okay. And some of you younger people, I'm sorry to ruin the story for you, okay, but they don't mind. Little Red Riding Hood, you know the story, but anyways, real quick, this is just, some of you woke up when I said that, okay, good. She's walking down the road, found out grandma was sick. You know the story. Mama packed her a little lunch, said, go see Grandma. Go give her something to eat. Grandma's sick in bed. She's walking along the trail, and all of a sudden, what comes out? The big bad wolf. And the wolf says, where are you going? And she says, I'm going to Grandma's house today. He said, oh, okay, that's great. Where does she live? Little girl says, well, matter of fact, she lives over at whatever gives the address. Great, okay, we'll see you later. He skips off over into the forest, makes a cut, gets a shortcut, gets up into the house, doesn't he? And the original story, and I'm sorry to be this way, but it's written back in like the 1600s by this guy. The wolf goes in and eats the grandma. He gets in the bed, you know, and he puts on grandma's outfit and everything else. And the little girl walks in the house and says, boy, grandma, what big teeth you have. And grandma, what big ears you have. And grandma, what big eyes you have. And before she can even finish speaking, the original story is the wolf eats the little girl. And the lumberjack's out in the forest, and he hears the commotion. He busts open the door, you know, walks in. The story says he kills the wolf, cuts open the wolf, and rescues the grandma and the daughter. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? You know, we don't read that part to the kids. Okay. But the whole moral, anyways, I was reading the whole story. I don't know why I kind of deviated there. But the whole thing is the author said, here's the moral of the story. It was written to help kids during that time. Kids were being taken advantage of and kidnapped, and like it's happening today, by the way, and all this stuff. So he wrote the story to help kids to be aware of their surroundings. Don't listen to everybody. Don't listen to these people. If you don't know them, don't tell them anything. And I thought about that. Counterfeit. That's exactly what's going on today in Christianity. Counterfeit. But Christians are so duped and blinded and deceived because they do not know their Bible. And what happens? Here comes a big bad wolf. What are you doing? Where are you going? Where's your address? Oh, really? Follow suit. How many don't raise your hand, but how many know a friend, somebody that's fallen away, no longer a Christian? They used to be. I like people. Used to be. Oh, used to go to church. I used to help out. Used to teach the kids. We used to. What happened? I believe truly that there are people today that believe or assumed or even thought they were Christians, really weren't. Now go with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. And we'll look at a few things here and then move on to our next point. Matthew 7, because I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 7, notice verse 15, if you will. Now again, this is the great Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is speaking and preaching. And people are listening. And there are people there. Some believe Matthew is sitting there, literally writing word for word. Others believe another person was writing word for word. In fact, we have several accounts of this. And they were copying down everything Jesus was saying. Notice verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you. Notice this, they come to you. If you're not careful, they'll come to you. We don't go out and look for false prophets. Remember what we read in 2 Corinthians 11? Subtly. He weasels his way in. He just slides his way in, doesn't he? They come to you, what? Sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they're ravening wolves. Verse 16. Ye shall know them by their garments. Ye shall know them by the terrible and pathetic mask they have on. Looking like, no, what's it say? You know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corruptible tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. I want you to see, my point number one is their product. Their product. This, I'm talking about a counterfeit Christian, a counterfeit Bible, a counterfeit church. Number one, their product. Now notice this. The fruit is the only reliable proof of identification. The fruit is the only reliable proof of identification. You go places, they want identification. You can't even go to Costco, they want identification. You can't go anywhere today, they want identification. They want to find out who you are. Make sure you are who you said you were. People come to these things and go, well, if I can see it, I can usually detect people. I'm good at reading people. How many have heard that? You know, I have a good sense about me. They are so subtle and they are so disguised. Notice this. Many people say, well, I'll be able to tell a wolf right away. I'll be able to tell a false prophet. I'll be able to tell a false gospel immediately. Why? By the big teeth, snarling snout, and the big eyes and ears of the wolf. Nuh-uh. Only one way. They're so well disguised. My friends, do not trust your own intuition. Do not trust your own heart. The Bible says our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says we trust this book. Proverbs 28, 26, I believe it is, says the fool trusts his own heart. How many people today are being led around this world by your own heart? I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like coming to church. I don't feel. Quit. Get away from that. The counterfeit plays off of our emotions. The counterfeit plays off of our feelings. I got a warm, fuzzy feeling. Oh, I felt so good. Hang on a second. Be careful about that. We come back to the facts. What does the Bible say? Now, we've hit on that many times. So the product of a counterfeit, notice again, is their fruit. And what is their fruit? Well, in fact, let's go to Galatians chapter 5 real quick. I have many verses today, so thank you for sticking with me here. Galatians chapter 5. Many of you memorized this before. We find the fruit of the flesh and we find the fruit of the Spirit. Notice verse 19. Now, we say the fruit of the flesh, but it doesn't say fruit. It says what? The works. The works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. What's it saying? That's what we do. That's what we make. That's what we produce. Our work. But the supernatural fruit comes from the Holy Spirit. Something we can't produce. Something we can't do. Notice verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh, they're manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Those are sexual sins. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. These are contentions. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. That's partying. Such like of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now again, you have done these things, but you've repented. You've asked for God's forgiveness. If you haven't, you're in trouble. He says these people that continue in this stuff in a habitual way with no remorse, no conviction, are not saved. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. There's nine of these. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That number nine is special, and you know that. There's nine fruits. Gestation period of a woman, what, 9 months? Something about that, right? That fruit now comes forth. The fruit that has been there growing, it's now come forth. Notice this. Not only is the fruit the only reliable proof of identification, the fruit inspection is according to one standard, not according to opinion. The fruit standard, notice, is according to one, not some opinion. Well, it'll bless their heart. They're doing well. They're doing the best they can. Well, Lord, you know, I tried this week. And Lord does know our hearts, and thank God for that. He sees that. He knows we're trying. But he also sees how, for me, how lax and lazy I am. Weak of a Christian. You ask somebody to give you something of Scripture or some doctrinal thing, they couldn't do it. You ask somebody, what'd you read this week? They couldn't do it. We need to understand and see today that, listen, there's a counterfeit out there, and you and I must be very aware of this, and I'm warning you today. I'm trying to help you today more. I'm trying to help myself to see. We need some Christians that have some understanding about them, some prowess about them, if you will, of I need to see and look out and wonder who it is. There's wolves out there. If you still have children in the home, especially. Boy, they're after our kids, aren't they today? They are after our kids. I mean, you saw in the news probably this week, a lady down in a hotel off the highway there. One-year-old twins. One of the twins got a hold of her fentanyl pill, ate it, died on the floor. The housekeeper came in, had to revive her, give her Narcan. One-year-old. And she said to the mother, why didn't you come tell us? Why didn't you say something? Why didn't you call 911? Well, what'd she say? I didn't want to get in trouble. You selfish, no good. I mean, you don't have words for this lady. Selfish. Your one-year-old daughter's dying and you don't want to go to jail. It's all about you. What are we saying today? This is where we live in. And we need Christians and God's people to stand up and say, hey, listen, I'll have the understanding. I'll have the Spirit empowering me to say, I want to help other people to know who He is. But I want to be aware there is fruit. Are you producing the fruit that we just read in verse 22 and 23 of Galatians 5? Is the fruit in your life? Is there love? Is there joy? Is there peace? Is there long-suffering with people? Is there gentleness? Is there meekness? No, none of us have that all the time. We're trying. Notice verse 24, though. And they that are Christ's, that's possession. Child of God cannot be demon-possessed because the Holy Spirit lives within us, but we can be oppressed. The devil oppresses us daily. The world oppresses us. But notice what he says. They that are Christ's, they're owned by Christ. You're a child of God. You don't have any say, by the way. You come to Christ, Lord, I'm yours. Well, Lord, I think. No. Have what they've done. Crucified the flesh, and I like this, with the affections and lusts, plural. They've crucified it. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live, I live according to what? Him, His Word, to glorify. So we see here the fruit is according to one standard, the fruit inspection. Now, we're not to walk around and be fruit inspectors. Well, I mean, I'm a fruit inspector. I inspect people's fruit. No, you need to look at yourself in the mirror, right? We are to see that this is where it comes back to. The inspection is according to one standard. And by the way, let me remind you, Jesus is a fair, just God, and He will not bring up, like we're going to see in just a little bit with our test, He's not going to bring up things that we go, oh, I didn't study for that. I wasn't ready for that, Lord. I didn't know You were going to ask me that question. No. Everything He's going to ask us will be directly out of this book. Isn't that wonderful to know? Isn't it also scary to know that we don't know the book? Boy, I want to tell you today, we can produce the fruit. Can I continue on? Let me keep going here. Number three, though, the fruit is also, notice, a byproduct of obedience. See, it's not something we have to muster up and think about, oh, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to get the fruit. I don't know what to do. No. You plant the seed, you water it, and you let it grow. It'll produce the apple. It'll produce the fruit. It'll produce the berries. You have nothing to do with that. You do your part, let God do His. Isn't that great? You do your part. But you know what people today, I won't do? Do my part. Do what you do and let God do what He does. Let Him have it. Let Him have your marriage. Let Him have your kids. Let Him have your finances. Notice, if you will, 1 John chapter 2. I like this. The fruit is always a byproduct of obedience. Byproduct. 1 John chapter 2. Oh, let's go jump down to verse number 3. He says, verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know Him. There's two different knows there, by the way. You know that. We do know, that's security, that's assurance, that we know Him. That's a salvation. Do you have security and assurance of your salvation? If, here it is, we keep His commandments. Verse 4, he that saith, I know Him, I know the Lord, I'm saved, and keeps not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith, verse 6, he that saith he abideth in Him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Isn't that great? We have an example. We have a living example of what to do. We find here another great point. Not only is that fruit available, we notice here the fruit is always a byproduct of obedience to the Word. When you obey the Word of God, when you follow the truth, you will naturally produce love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, and so forth. You'll produce that fruit. Who are these counterfeit people? These counterfeits came in to the church in, there were several churches in Galatia. They came in and began to corrupt the hearts and minds of the people. And you know what they said? Well, the truth that Paul gave you ain't the right one. The gospel that Paul gave you ain't the right one. And they began to get the people to deviate from the Word and walk away from the Word and get away from it. We one day went out and got the bright idea to go down a trail and hiking. And we got down the trail and they have those signs posted on the side, you know, this way and this way. They call it different names. And they said, don't basically stay on the bottom. Stay on the trail! Exclamation. And we said, you know, basically we don't need that. We stepped and deviated off the trail and kind of found our little way through the trees and this and that, having a good time and everything else. And then all of a sudden you go, everything's looking the same here. Where am I at? Where are we at? You pull out your cell phone, automatically look, and zzz, nothing. No service. You don't deviate from the trail. Now, I'm glad to report I did find my way back, and I'm still alive. Okay, just to let you know. And you hear rustling in the trees. And then you watch those ridiculous, stupid shows about Bigfoot and Sasquatch, and now you're all messed up and scared. And you hear something rustling in the trees, and you go, what in the world is that? I don't know what that was. Don't deviate from the trail. Don't get off. Now listen, you can trust this Bible. We've said it so many times. You can trust the Bible. You can trust the Word. You stay obedient to the Bible. Oh, I read this. No, it was about 2 weeks ago. I was reading in Mark chapter number 8, I believe it is. And Jesus said to the apostles, he said, now listen, the people have followed us out here into the wilderness, but they have nothing to eat. And he says, if I have them turn around and go home now, they're going to faint in the way. And they're going to have a hard time getting back home. It's too far for them to get back home on no food. He says, what do you think we should do? The apostles said to him, Lord, what do we do? We have no bread. We have nothing to eat out here. And he says, have them all sit down and I'll show you. But what I read and I've skipped over for so many years is this. You can follow the Lord as far as he's going into the wilderness. You can follow him deep into the woods and he will feed you. We follow, well, I don't know if I can follow, I don't know if I want to get real fanatical. I don't know if I want to come to church all the time. I don't know if I want to get up every day and read my Bible. I mean, I feel like I'm getting too, you ever feel that way? I want to get too close to God. Guess what? Wherever he leads you or however far he leads you, he'll always feed you. He'll take care of you. Well, I don't know if we could step out by faith and give like that. The Lord put on my heart to give towards this or to help out in this way, but I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know. Lord will take care of you. By the way, much better than you can take care of yourself, right? We can trust the Lord. However far he leads you, we can trust this book. If the Bible shows you something, if the Bible says something, you follow it. The Bible commands you how to be a husband. You can follow it. The Bible commands you how to be a wife. You can follow it. The Bible commands you how to be a child of God. So notice the fruit is always a byproduct of obedience. Can I say also number four under this point? The fruit of the righteous is always healthy. Is always healthy. Psalm number one or Psalm one. You know it, I'm sure. He goes on to talk about how this individual who is rooted and who is close to the Word, who is faithful, he's planted. Remember it? He's planted by the waters. His leaves don't wither, and he brings forth fruit in his season. He said, the ungodly are not so. Like the chaff that is blown away in the wind. They're fickle, they're fake, they're fraudulent. He says, that which is planted, notice, the fruit of the righteous is always from healthy roots, is always ripe, is always regulated, is always resilient. All of these things we could talk about in the description of this individual who's planted that bring forth fruit in their season. Jesus goes on to say in the New Testament, some 10, some 20, some 60. Well, he brought forth a bunch of fruit and I didn't. No, it's not the fruit necessarily, the number. What is it? It's a heart. You may be in a small church in a countryside, or you may be in the metropolitan city in a big church. We always look at numbers, don't we? Numbers, numbers, numbers. That's what we're all about, especially Baptists. We're always about numbers. Numbers. God does a lot of his work in the minority, doesn't he? God does some of his best work, a little country church. God does some of his best work in your life, or he did in the past. You were in a little country church with about 10 people. God helped you and taught you with a Sunday school teacher, and there's about two other kids with you sitting in the class. You learned about your conviction. You learned about sin. You got right with God. I'm telling you today, we think about this. He says, now look, the fruit of the righteous is always healthy. It's always the right fruit, see. Lord, did I do what you wanted me to do? Did you follow the book? I followed the book, Lord. All right, that's the fruit I want. That's the fruit I want. We don't have to wonder, oh, I got the wrong fruit. I wonder if the Lord will like it. It's in season. See, it's his work. The product of the counterfeit. We see it. Now, let me say this and we'll wrap it up. There's not only the product, but secondly, notice there's the pretenders. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 5. 2 Timothy 5, real quickly. 2 Timothy 5. Don't you like turning in your Bibles? Okay, good. 2 Timothy. No. 2 Timothy 3, excuse me. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. Notice what he says, having a form of godliness. Now, we know these verses. Paul is describing to Timothy the characteristics of the people of the end times or the last days. We see it today. But one of them, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, a lot of people hug people to hell. I don't mean to be harsh, but we coddle people to hell. It's okay. Oh, you messed up again with your boyfriend? Ah, shoot. Hey, let's not do that, okay? Oh, you fumbled again with that? Oh, on your phone? Ah, that's okay. We coddle people, don't we? We hug them. Oh, it's okay, it's okay. That's what I do. Look what he says. Having a form of godliness. Number two, they're pretenders. We can identify the counterfeit, number one, by their product, but number two, that they are pretenders. The veneer is detectable. Notice this. He says to Timothy, he has a form of godliness. These individuals that are God deniers, that are lovers of their own selves, that are not, they're without natural affection, these are all things. They love pleasure more than God. Notice, they have a form of godliness. It's a veneer. You can see it. You set a ice cold glass of tea today on your nice wood coffee table, and what happens? If you don't have a coaster, you're going to get a whoop. No, okay. You better get a coaster under that thing. Some of you are laughing because you grew up like, okay, get a coaster under that. What's it going to do? Leave a ring. That condensation comes out, leaves a ring on the table, and then some mama walks by or daddy walks by. Well, hey, what's going on here? That veneer is damaged. Now think about this. They're a form. They're pretenders. It's a form of it, he says. They put on a mask, as we read in Matthew 7. They put on a show. I must wrap it up and finish up here. But notice under this also, it's detectable. The profession is not a reliable source of authentication. The profession they make. Well, I am a, you know me, I don't, you don't trust that. I don't trust what you say. I trust what you produce. If you will, in your Bibles, turn over one page to Titus chapter 1. Titus 1 verse 16. They profess, there it is, that they know God. Yep. What's profess? That's lip service. But in works, they what? Deny Him. Being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work, reprobate. Now, Paul is talking to Titus. Titus is there on the island of Crete, and he's setting in order. There's some churches. There were several churches on the island that were disorderly. They were confused. They were all out of whack. They weren't doing anything right. They weren't preaching the truth. They were all messed up. And he says, set in order these churches. Set them in order. Get them in order. And one of the things he says about these people is that they profess that they know God, but in works, they deny Him. Now, you can't work your soul to save, for that the Lord has done, but now you can work like any slave for the love of God's dear Son. You don't work for your salvation. We know that. But now that you're saved, you need to work for Him. We get to the judgment seat. The judgment seat's for saved people, not for the unsaved. That's coming later. Saved people, what do? We come and bring what we did for Christ. We're not judged for our sins. That's covered under the blood. We bring our works. Here's what I did, Lord. Remember? We pass it over the fire. Wood, hay, stubble. That means materialistic. Things that don't matter. That we do daily. That you waste your time with. That I waste my time. Put it up. Wood, hay, stubble. Burned up. Gold, silver, precious stones. The things that matter. This old world gets a way of programming our minds to think that if we'll drink the right thing, if we'll eat the right things, if we'll watch the right things, if we'll shop at the right stores, if we date the right person, if we have the right shoes on and the right coat on, that we're doing something for this world. We're doing something of significance. Have you ever stood by the bedside of a dying saint? There's not one thing said about what they own. Not one thing. They don't say, "How's my money? Hey, did you let everyone know at work that I'm not going to be there? Hey, how's my shoe collection? How's my knitting, my garments? Did you get everything?" They don't give a flip. A hoot, sorry. They don't care. What do they care about? Their loved ones. What do they care about? What's going to happen next? They care about eternity. Set by the bedside of a dying lady. She said, I'm getting ready to see Jesus. That's sobering, isn't it? I preach about it, teach about it, we talk about it all the time. Until that happens, that's real right there, isn't it? I'm getting ready to see Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? We think now today, the veneer is detectable, a form. The profession is not reliable for authentication. Well, they said, Brother Tim, they said they were a good Christian. We say it often. We'll believe it when we see it. Well, they profess to be. We don't listen to that. We come back to the Bible. You people that know your Bibles, when you hear someone preaching, when you hear someone teaching, you automatically, the receptors go up and the Holy Spirit within you goes, ooh, that's not right. You have friends and others that you may be around that aren't particularly strong Christians, and they'll make statements like that. Well, I think that if we all just do our best, we'll be good. I believe that, you know, if we all just help each other out, we're just good to each other in the world, we'll all be okay. Receptors said, no, that's not right. Paul says, now there's a form of it. I want to say today that we need to be aware of this. Counterfeit Christianity. Where are we at today? This is why our churches are falling apart. This is why more people are leaving the church today than ever before. Why? They were never taught the word. They were never taught to detect in their own hearts the counterfeit. You and I, we know this and we've studied this before. But our paradigm of life, how we view things, how we were brought up, it changes and it helps us in our decision making. It gives us what we call that intuition. We need to come back and bring all of that under the scope of the Word of God and run it through the filter of the Word of God to say, God, you lead me, you show me. So the profession is not reliable and their true colors bleed through by disorderly conduct. Now we'll study this a little bit next week, but in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he talks about this. He says, separate yourself from those that are disorderly. That word disorderly means not according to Scripture. It's not in order. If you follow this book, you'll be in order. Some of you can't stand when things are disorderly. And you always marry the person that's the opposite, right? Messy, disorder. Some of you have to have a, your siblings you have to live with, okay? Disorderly. You want the order. I want everything in order. Got to be right. Got to be just right. Paul says you need to separate yourself from those that are disorderly. Meaning they're not obeying the word. They claim to be Christians, they show up and they do their thing, but they're disorderly. You should separate yourself from that. Friends and family and others that may not be walking orderly, we're nice and we're friendly, we're trying to reach them with the gospel, but we need to understand something that they will have an effect and influence in our lives. So their true colors bleed through and we can detect them not only by their fruit, but by their disorderliness spiritually. Can I say the last one here and then we'll be done very quickly? They're persuasive. They're persuasive. Galatians chapter 1. They're persuasive. He says, I marvel. I marvel. What is that? Verse number 3, I think it is. 4 or 5. He says, I marvel. You're so soon removed. Oh, thank you. Yes. I marvel you're so soon removed. Now remember the word marvel he used a second time as we read in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, and no marvel, for Satan transformed himself into an apostle or an angel of light. He's this angelic thing. He's this beautiful being. You ought not be looking for those kinds of things. You ought not to be looking for those miraculous things. And the light, bright light shone down when I was driving home from work, so it was a sign. We don't believe that. Why? Because of this fruit inspection, because of this detection of the counterfeit, we have a reliable source just like that little diamond detector that they'll put on your ring. Deed-deed. Fake. Deed. Real. We have a tool we can rely upon and trust. We don't trust anything else. They're persuasive. They try to pull us away. Now you and I, we cannot lose our salvation. We do not believe that. We believe the Bible is very clear that we have eternal security if you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. But here's the thing. Many Christians are duped and deceived into becoming disobedient, into becoming flaky, into becoming no longer close to the Lord. And we know that. What happened? You listened to somebody you shouldn't have listened to. You followed your own intuition. You followed your own heart. Your heart comprises your intellect, emotions, and will. That's what your heart is. And we follow that. well, I think it'll be okay if we miss. I think it'll be okay if we just do this or that and just be a good person. It doesn't work that way. We come back. It's not trying to figure out how we can slide by and not be punished by the Lord all the time. That's a disobedient child. A disobedient child always is looking for an opportunity to try to sneak by mom and dad so they can do the bare minimum and not get in trouble. An obedient child of God, an obedient child of the parents, is transparent and says, hey, I'll do what you want me to do. I'm not looking for you to pay attention and everything I do right, I hope you're looking at. No, I'm going to do it not so much for you, Dad and Mom, but now for the Lord. He's watching. I want to follow what He has for me. They're appealing, and we'll look at this next week, to the heart, the intellect, the emotions. The message that they preach appeals to the desire for a deeper experience. Their message also appeals to the secrecy and illusion of that which is mystical. We find that today in a lot of churches. That mystical secrecy. That false teaching that stirs the emotions. And we ought to be stirred emotionally, we know that. We ought to be just a buoy floating out in the water. No emotion, nothing. There ought to be stirrings and moving of the Holy Spirit, but we don't rely upon that. It's not a reliable source. Every person in the Scriptures that went off of their feelings, you can study this, they got into trouble. Peter went according to his feelings, didn't he? I got to defend Jesus. Jesus said, put up your sword. And give me that ear, by the way. Let me put that back on. Later went off his feelings again. I go fishing. I got time. I don't know what to do. I'm confused. I mean, the Lord returned. I don't know what's going on. He went back fishing. He got in trouble. Jesus sitting on the seashore going. A lot of people went off feeling. Naomi went off feeling. Oh, you know, everything's falling apart. Lost everybody. Everyone died that I love, this and that. And Ruth says, well, I could help out. We got to be careful about this and understand it, and we know it. Samson went off a feeling. Samson said, I want that woman. I want that girl. Go get her for me. Ruined his life. Wouldn't listen to the Lord. Today we come back to and say, there is a counterfeit out there, my friends. Are you aware? We ought to know the truth so well. Now again, we don't go out and study every counterfeit. We got to know the truth very well. In fact, I was going to say this. I'll say it next week. But again, the bank tellers in the olden days were trained to know the bill, the original, so well that they could detect a counterfeit just by feel or looking, sight, or whatever it would be. Not today they have the machines that they run it through and they know they have the marker they mark it with, etc. But they didn't go out and look at all the counterfeits. Now here's why, because counterfeits are always changing. A guy in his basement right now is producing a new batch of money. There's always a counterfeit. We got a problem with that today with fentanyl. They're lacing marijuana. They're lacing prescription pills. They're lacing things with fentanyl. The microscopic almost amount of fentanyl, and it's killing our young people today. Hey, do you got a pill? I got a headache. Oh, yeah, I got one in my hand, her a pill. She took it, died in 3 minutes. Counterfeits. We don't know what to do with it in America. It's an epidemic, literally. It's killing a whole generation of kids. You walk down the streets of Philadelphia. You walk down Central Avenue, in fact. You see people hunched over looking like zombies. Counterfeits. May we be a people today of God. May we be a church today that is a people that are authentic. But not only that, ourselves are authentic. We have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the ability through the preaching of the Word of God, through the study of the Word of God, through the memorization and knowledge of the Word of God to detect the counterfeit. And we can be a church, can't we, that is right on board, that is right where we're supposed to be. Those wolves will come. We don't go out looking for wolves. They'll come to us. Just wait long enough. They'll come. They'll come into your home. They'll come into your house. They'll come into your marriage. You wait long enough. We ought to have the ability and the knowledge to say, I'm not going to trust my heart and my own understanding because I don't have the right abilities to detect that and inspect that. But I know what does. If I stick with this book and I stay close to this Bible and I seek the Lord daily through prayer and plead with Him to fill me with the Holy Spirit, I will have that power. I'll have that ability to do that very thing. I must stop there. Lord, thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your grace and these dear precious people, Lord, that hear the Word. Pray You'd help all of us, Father, today to be aware, to be Bible knowledgeable people, to be filled with the Spirit, to be seeking You daily, and asking You, God, to help us, especially in these latter days, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, that it's getting worse and worse. And I pray that you'd help us to be authentic people, producing the fruit that you've called us to produce, to bring glory to you, Lord, and true joy to us while we're on this earth. We love and thank you in Jesus' name.